Camp was so much fun. It really is one of the highlights of the year. Seeing the kids grow and seeing the leaders, as you heard, also being impacted is just worth every second out there. So much fun. I mean, so much fun to see all the youth. I think it was over 500-600 kids that were there in total, plus all the adults and all of those things. And you can see that our youth group is highly involved. I think we actually had the largest youth group there. And so we were everywhere. So yeah, it was really cool. When you go out into the game, the field games and all, we had 23 or 24 teams, I think. And you look out, every one of our kids was like on every one of the teams. So it was like team green, team whatever. There was one of our kids a part of it. So it was really cool. Really, really cool. All right, let's continue part four of the Holy Spirit series this summer. And now, for some of you, don't get confused with a class that you saw earlier that you could sign up for. That's just an extra compound of teaching, okay? So we'd encourage you to sign up for that as well. We are Holy Spiriting it up this summer, okay? That's really what it's all about. So I'm all for it, okay? So turn your Bible to Ezekiel 37, 1 through 14. As you turn there, let me explain what today is all about, okay? So what I want you to recognize, the motive behind today's message is that the Holy Spirit has a purpose, okay? He is been around from day one, and if you really would begin to read the New Testament through Jesus's through the four Gospels and Jesus's journey, you would recognize that this was all about the Holy Spirit, okay? So that's the whole point I want to bring out today. So in Ezekiel 37, verses 1 through 14, get ready, here we go. The Lord took hold of me, and I was carried away by the Spirit of the Lord to a valley filled with bones. He led me all around among the bones that covered the valley floor. They were scattered everywhere across the ground and were completely dried out. Then he asked me, "Son of man, can these bones become living people again?" O sovereign Lord, I replied, you alone know the answer to that. Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to these bones and say, dry bones, listen to the word of the Lord. This is what the sovereign Lord says. Look, I'm going to put breath into you and make you live again. I will put flesh and muscles on you and cover you with skin. I will put breath into you and you will come to life. Then you will know that I am the Lord. So I spoke this message just as he told me. Suddenly, as I spoke, there was a rattling noise all across the valley. The bones of each body came together and attached themselves as complete skeletons. Then as I watched, muscles and flesh formed over the bones. Then the skin formed to cover their bodies, but they still had no breath in them. Then he said to me, speak a prophetic message to the winds. Son of man, speak a prophetic message and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. Come, O breath from the four winds, breathe into these dead bodies so they may live again. So I spoke the message as he commanded me, and breath came into their bodies. They all came to life and stood up on their feet, a great army. Then he said to me, son of man, these bones represent the people of Israel. They are saying, we have become old, dry bones. All hope is gone. Our nation is finished. Therefore, prophesy to them and say, this is what the sovereign Lord says. O my people, I will open your graves of exile and cause you to rise again. Then I will bring you back to the land of Israel. When this happens, O my people, you will know that I am the Lord. I will put my spirit in you. And you will live again and return home to your own land. Then you will know that I, the Lord, have spoken and I have done what I said. Yes, the Lord has spoken. All right, so this is a prophecy. As we know, Ezekiel is writing this from what he was given by God. And in that prophecy, you see that the Holy Spirit is evident. All right, there is a purpose to the Holy Spirit. Why we neglect to see this, I have no idea. Because if you begin to read all of the New Testament, you would see the purpose of Jesus coming, not only to save us, but now to infill us with the Holy Spirit, giving us the capability to do what he did here on this earth. So point number one, this morning is from valley to victory. From valley to victory. The Spirit meets us in the valley of dry bones, right? Oh man, not to leave us there, but to raise us up. To raise us up into a living, breathing army. What looks lifeless, and that's what a lot of us think, isn't hopeless when the breath of God enters in. You may feel scattered, but the Spirit is gathering. And that is what the Holy Spirit is trying to do. He is not trying, he is doing, but unfortunately we neglect the Holy Spirit. We're just an empty vessel, saved, but at the same time we're missing out on something else. There's something there and we're neglecting it. And that's what we need to be more aware of. So I know, and everyone knows this, and we're not disputing this, new life comes through Jesus Christ. You are saved, yay! That's wonderful. But that's not the only reason why Jesus came, okay? He was crucified and he was raised again. And we see all this in John chapter 20, verse 22. But here's what he says before all of this takes place. He's saying, hey, he breathed on them and he said, receive the Holy Spirit. He is prophesying. He's actually not just prophesying, but he's fulfilling the prophecy of what Ezekiel wrote. And what a powerful moment. That very breath of God comes in, the very breath that hovered over the waters in creation, all right, in Genesis chapter 1. It's the same one that empowered prophets in the Old Testament, is the same breath, the Holy Spirit that Jesus breathed into the disciples, and the same Holy Spirit that came on the day of Pentecost, all right, and fulfilled more and more prophecy from the Old Testament. Guys, this is where we cannot neglect the purpose of the Holy Spirit. It is the Holy Spirit whom God uses to transform us, okay, from lifeless to life-giving, and that's what it's all about. This living army that he's talking about isn't an army without weapons, all right, without gifts and understanding. The Holy Spirit is providing those to us. He is our constant helper. He is our constant distributor of the things that we need. He is the encourager. He empowers us supernaturally in our strength. As my wife points out, many of us are sitting here going, I don't know how to read my Bible. The minute you begin to open your Bible, the Holy Spirit will begin to teach you, and you go, Oh, I thought I needed a Bible 101 course. Don't get me wrong, those are great, and they're going to help you, and they introduce you to some things, but truth be told, you open up the Word of God, and God's going to begin to direct you. He's going to speak to you, and that's what's the beautiful part about the Holy Spirit. So he makes a home within us. We see all of this in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 22. Now, I'm not talking about this congregation, so don't get all bitter and offended. But as I visit a lot of congregations, one of the things that I see during corporate worship, I see more Ezekiel 37:1 than I see Ezekiel 37:10. It's like these empty vessels with no life, no power, no understanding of what God is doing, that when worship is taking place, there's this emptiness of like, I'm here. I'm not talking about my church. I'm talking about other churches that I visit, right? Other churches, not our church. But from the front to the back, people are going, man, I'm ready. I'm ready for worship. I'm ready to enter in. Man, I'm pumped. I'm excited because what God's doing. I know the authority that lives and dwells inside of me. I know the power that I have through Christ Jesus to overcome any obstacle, any situation, that when I am down and when I'm deserted or when I'm hurt or when I feel abandoned, I build myself up in my holy faith through the power of God. And I sit here and I worship my Heavenly Father. Because why? Because I know what my Heavenly Father is doing. He does not abandon me, right? Even though I may feel pressed from every side, right? I may feel this, I may feel that, but I know that my Heavenly Father is doing a work, and that work is a good work. And therefore, I am not going to sit here and be all abandoned and victimized. So when I come into worship, I don't sit here and worry about what Ethan thinks. I don't care what Dan thinks. I only care what my Heavenly Father thinks. So I'm going to come in here and I'm going to worship, right? I'm not going to worry about the guy in the back. I love you. But I'm going to worship. Some of you be like, oh, you have to be charismatic to worship. No, but what I'm trying to tell you is that you, I'm telling you, when you begin to worship, you don't care about all the things around you. You sit and you go, man, I'm ready to go. Let's worship, right? And I can't dance, and it's not about dancing, right? It's not having this smooth thing. It's not about a perfect voice like Brian. be nice. I don't got that, but that's not what it's about. I was told to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. As we all know, I've used this 100 times with you guys, but for you that are new, this is my first time. If I was to say, let's pray, all of you would immediately go, but nowhere in the Bible does it say to bow your heads and close your eyes. Nowhere. But for some reason, we're like, every time. But what it does say is to make a joyful noise unto the Lord. But for some reason, during worship, we're like, right? It's so strange. It's so strange. It is awkward. I know it's awkward. If I said, hey, guys, let's give a joy, let's give a shout to the Lord right now, you'd be like, ah. It's like weird. I get it, some of you. But it's not weird if you're used to it. Let me tell you right now. It'd be like, oh, yeah, that's normal. That's second nature. Woo! Yes! Like, I'm excited for what the Lord is doing. Why would you be excited for what the Lord's doing? Because you're doing what the Lord's doing. You're going to be a part of it. You're like, oh, I get it. I know what God's doing. I've seen it. It has happened in front of me. It's happened around me. It's happened to me. It's happened through me. When you begin to walk in the Holy Spirit, okay, in that power, in that victory, right? Talking about the valley of the victory here. We're victorious in what we're doing. When you begin to walk in this, you would realize very quickly, man, I am doing what Jesus was doing. We'll get there in just a second. Number 2 point here. Don't just be saved, be set on fire. That's what I want. Man, that's what God wants. That's what his word tells us. Listen, guys, it's not that we're dead and hopeless, okay? I'm not portraying that type of picture to you this morning, okay? I'm not trying to be mean and be like, our congregation needs to just be dancing all the time, right? I'm not saying all of those things, okay? And by no means am I insinuating that we're dead and hopeless. Because why? Because Jesus came to give us life, life in abundance, 100%, okay? That's for sure. But I am slightly concerned that we don't actually act like it. That we don't act like Jesus came to give us life, life in abundance, okay? I think that we're missing an emphasis on, and this is really important, and an awareness of, right? A desperation for a boldness in the Holy Spirit. That there needs to be a boldness in the Holy Spirit. You need to be studying the Word of God, where I said, remember the whole point of this morning's message is to recognize that Old Testament is pointing to the New Testament, New Testament is confirming the Old Testament, and that Jesus' ministry was all about the Holy Spirit. If you begin to read the Scriptures, you'll go, whoa, this is all about the Holy Spirit. The full purpose of what Jesus was doing was to show us what we would be doing through the infilling of the Holy Spirit. So all of that to say, I think we need to have an emphasis on, an awareness of, a desperation for, a boldness in the Holy Spirit. Yeah. So don't just be saved, be set on fire. Now, as you read, or as I said earlier in John chapter 20, verse 22, Jesus breathes that Holy Spirit. Okay, not for comfort alone. I love comfort. Holy Spirit comes in and comforts me. Man, when I don't know what I'm doing, poof. But for combustion. Okay, that is the moment where you're like, yes, right? Like, it's, for instance, a good example I would tell you. It's like you get in your car and you turn it on. You're like, oh, that's great. It's comfort, right? Car turned on, got the AC going. But now it's time to put your foot on the gas. And it's time to drive, right? It's time to actually create combustion. It's time to do something. We know that John baptized with water, and then John prophesied that Jesus would baptize with the Holy Spirit, right? And fire. The same Spirit that filled Jesus fills us to walk, speak, and move in power. Now, salvation makes you new. Again, I'm not, for some reason, some people get real hung up. You're like, I'm not talking about salvation anymore. That's an understood statement. Salvation has happened. You accepted Jesus Christ, your Lord and personal Savior. But it doesn't end there, okay? We know that the Spirit sets us ablaze, and that's the purpose of why Jesus came. So in Luke chapter 3, and I'm going to read a bunch of scriptures right now, okay? flow with me as I read these scriptures. I'm going to skip some verses because they're just some filler verses to kind of give context of where they are or what they're doing. But if you just read through here, you would go, oh, this is all about the Holy Spirit. So in Luke chapter 3, verses 15 through 16, here we go. Everyone was expecting the Messiah to come soon, and they were eager to know whether John might be the Messiah. John answered the questions by saying, I baptize you with water, but someone is coming soon who is greater than I am, so much greater that I am not even worthy to be his slave and untie the straps of his sandals. He will baptize you with the Holy Spirit and with fire. Luke chapter 3, 21 through 22. One day when the crowds were being baptized, Jesus himself was baptized. As he was praying, the heavens opened, and the Holy Spirit in bodily form descended on him like a dove, and a voice from heaven said, you are my dearly loved son, and you bring me great joy. Flip over a page, Luke chapter 4, verse 1. Then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, returned from the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit into the wilderness, right? Okay, we know that story. Luke chapter 4, verse 14. Then Jesus returned to Galilee, filled with the Holy Spirit's power. See the progression here? Then in Luke chapter 4, 16 through 21. When he came to the village of Nazareth, his boyhood home, he went as usual to the synagogue on the Sabbath and stood up to read the scriptures. The scroll of Isaiah, the prophet, was handed to him. He unrolled the scroll and he found the place where this was written. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For he has anointed me to bring good news to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim that captives will be released, that the blind will see, that the oppressed will be set free, and that the time of the Lord's favor has come. He rolled up the scroll, handed it back to the attendant, and sat down. All eyes in the synagogue looked at him intently. Then he began to speak to them. The scripture you've just heard has been fulfilled this very day. By reading Isaiah 61 in the synagogue, Jesus claimed not only his identity as the Messiah, which is fantastic, but also that his power came from the anointing of the Holy Spirit. That power that rose Jesus from the grave still lives today in us. All right? That same power. In the book of Acts, you'll see, is essentially the record of ordinary people doing extraordinary things. Okay? Ordinary people doing extraordinary things. They're doing the stuff that Jesus did. So this leads me to part three, or point number three, of my message, which is you are the sequel to his story. This is not the end of Jesus. This is the beginning. Jesus set the stage. He set the standard, and he said, now this you will continue to do. So Jesus declared the Spirit of the Lord was on him, right? Then he promised the Spirit to dwell in us. The book of Acts wasn't the end of that story, as I just said. It was the beginning of ours. So we aren't just fans of Jesus. We're filled to finish what he started. Do you get that? Too often in churches and at times as Christians, we just become like a fan of what Jesus did. That's wonderful. I'm all about that. But that's not what Jesus is saying. I don't want you just to be a fan. I want you to do what I did. I came to give you the instruction. I showed you the standard of operation here. That's why when Peter was like, can I walk out on the water with you? Jesus is like, come on. And Peter, he's like, all right, I'm going to walk out on this water. You know, all the other disciples, all the 11 sitting on the boat were like, ah, geez. Right? Why didn't I ask? I guarantee you, all of them were like, maybe one, Thomas. But the rest of them, the rest of them were like, moron, I should have asked, right? In that moment, what is Jesus, what happens? Peter begins to sink. Why? Because he takes his eyes off of Jesus, right? And Jesus is like, oh, come on, right? We don't take our eyes off of Jesus. He's the standard, okay? But it's not a matter of just him, we're being fanboys of Jesus. That's not the point. The point is that now we get to do what Jesus did, and that's what Jesus wants us to do, all right? I guess we live in a society now where it's like, trust me, I understand. I'm not a pro athlete, okay? And I know that I'm just a regular Joe. And I understand that if a pro athlete walked in the room and I had to compete in that pro athlete status, I would falter immediately. However, that's not the case when it comes to supernatural. And that's what Jesus is trying to say. Through the power of the Holy Spirit, you will do great and mighty things. Great and mighty things. It's beyond your control. It's not your works, it's his works. So that, too often we get all timid about it. We're like, bah. And then somehow the humility, and it's not real humility. It's like a fake humility. You act like this, like, oh, not me. But really, that's just a disguise that you don't know real power. Or it's the disguise of you don't really know what's made available to you. So you're just sitting on your hands going, humility. And it's like, no. Go out there and go do something. Like, go out there and lay hands on the sick. Go out there and pray for those individuals. Go talk to your neighbors about Jesus. Go to your coworkers at lunchtime and let's talk. Like, when you, and I'm not trying to say you have to be weird about it. So that's the other thing. Some people are like, some of you are weird. Don't get me wrong. Be led by the Spirit. But you need to understand the truth of this is like when you're led by the Spirit will unction you and you're like, oh man, I have to go over here. I've got to say these things. I've got to do this. The Holy Spirit's going to give you what you need to say. But let me also say this. There are trigger words when you hear people. Remember my first point from valley to victory? Well, a lot of people just live in the valley. If you have the Holy Spirit dwelling inside of you, you're living in victory. Therefore, you can hear valley talk. Man, I hear valley talk all the time. By the way, it's not like, oh my God, girl. I'm not valley. I'm not talking about that. All right, not that valley talk. Like some of you, not like California, like, oh my God. No, I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about like valley talk of like, oh me and oh my. My world is awful. My husband, he is so awful. My wife, oh, bleh. Right? My children, they're dumb. Like, when you hear that, I'm broke. I'm defeated. I can't do anything. Nothing ever goes my way. I'm always at the bad end of the stick. Like, when you hear those phrases, that's valley talk. That's your moment. When you're in victory, you can be, no, hey, let's talk. Because Proverbs 18:21 says that life and death are in the power of the tongue. Let's talk about power here. Let's talk about the Holy Spirit. If you encounter the power of the Holy Spirit, that when you're in your situations, the Holy Spirit somehow supernaturally brings you out of those moments. Not to say that you're not going to go through those moments, okay? We go through moments. But in those moments, you sit there and you go, what am I going to do? Holy Spirit comes in. That's why I speak in tongues. I don't know what to do half the time, so I just go to the Father. I'm like, oh, Holy Spirit, let's just talk right now. There are times where I say, I don't know what I'm doing. And I just seek after what the Lord wants. So I begin to pray in the Spirit. And supernaturally, I'm like, something, a peace comes over me, a calmness that can't be defined. That's right. And then I go, you know what? The Holy Spirit's going to direct me. And I begin to put my head up. I don't talk the valley talk. I talk the victory talk. And I begin to seek and look for the things that the Holy Spirit's doing. And it's like, I want to be a part of that. I'm going to open, when the doors are open to the church, I'm going to the church to worship him for the victory. That I'm going to build myself up in my almost holy faith, right? I'm going to worship the Lord right now. Like that, all of those things, before you know it. Because again, I don't want to just be a fan of what Jesus did. I'm a fan of what Jesus did. I'm not belittling all of that. But I know what he did for us so that what we could do. That's the difference. So it's like, I don't want to be a church filled with just, we're fans of what Jesus did. I want to be a church filled of what Jesus did so that we could do what he wanted us to do. That we could be a part of that supernatural spiritual growth in a level of like incomprehensible. Sorry. It's a lot of words, a lot of syllables in that word. You guys know what I was going to say. All right, sweet, let's move on. But I want to wrap it up with this verse right here. John chapter 14, 12 through 17. John chapter 14, 12 through 17. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done, and even greater works, because I am going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name, and I will do it, so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Yes, ask me for anything in my name, and I will do it. If you love me, obey my commandments, and I will ask the Father, and he will give you another advocate who will never leave you. He is the Holy Spirit, who leads into all truth. The world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. But you know him because he lives with you now and later will be in you. Do you guys hear that? Do you hear? Let me talk about the tenses here, okay? Past tense, present, future, okay? That's some of the definition problems that a lot of people are they don't get it, okay? And I want you to get it right here. It says the world cannot receive him. Why can the world receive him, okay? Well, for some reason, a lot of people, it's a distribution issue, okay? I love what Reverend Reinhard Bonnke used to talk about when people would, atheists would argue with him. And he would say, people would be like, well, you know, why isn't these people saved? Or why is this bad things happening? And all this stuff. And so he's, so Reverend Reinhard Bonnke, he responds with, there's a lot of dirty people. Okay, just dirty in general, like physically dirty. But the distribution of soap, not everybody can get to a bar of soap. Some people choose not to use bars of soap to clean themselves, right? So in the same way, you have to take that bar of soap and apply it to your life, okay? So in the same way, we see in this particular moment here is, I think it's kind of self-explanatory, but it says the world cannot receive him. Because why? It isn't looking for it. Because they have their own agenda. I'm going to do what I want to do. The world has that, as we mentioned earlier in Proverbs 16:9, this idea of, I can plan my own ways. But it's vain. And it's destructive at times. And that's where you have to go, you know what? But the Lord determines the steps. So I'm going to actually take the word of God and apply it to everything that I do. I'm going to open it up. I'm going to read it. I'm going to go, you know what? Can't hurt. I'm going to apply it. Now, the other factor that matters is that the world cannot receive him because it isn't looking for him and doesn't recognize him. And here's the other part right here. It's beautiful. But you know him. Because why? Because he lives with you now. So in the Old Testament days, okay, in the Old Testament days, the Holy Spirit lived with them. That's what guided the prophets at times, right? That's what guided movements at times. The Holy Spirit lived with them. But then he says, that was the past tense. But then Jesus says, and later will be in you. That when Jesus died on the cross, he made our vessels washed so that we could actually hold the Holy Spirit in us. It wasn't capable. We weren't capable of this happening until Jesus died on the cross, washing us of our sins. I love a new life. Don't get me wrong. I love the fact that we have Jesus, all right, who washed us. But now we get to do supernatural things. We get to encounter God on another level. More so than any of the Old Testament moments. That we now live in a day where the Holy Spirit can live and dwell inside of us. And there is power. But some of us don't know that we should apply it. We just treat it as like, Let me give you another example. In Luke chapter 15, we see the story of the prodigal son. Okay, prodigal son comes home after a multitude of bad decisions. Prodigal son comes home, and what happens? The father clothes him. with three different things. First thing, a robe. That robe is a representation of honor and righteousness, that God covers our shame with grace. He gives you sandals. Those sandals is a representation of freedom and belonging. We walk not as servants, but as children of God. And then he gives him a ring. And that ring is a representation of authority and identity. And God restores our role as his sons and daughters. Not as strangers, but as sons and daughters. You guys may or may not have children. And maybe you had a horrible upbringing. Maybe you didn't have great parents. And I apologize. But you have a heavenly father that's far better than your earthly parents, okay? So don't use their example as your relationship with your heavenly father. But let me give you my example real brief. I have three boys and a little girl. I will do anything for that little girl. I'll do anything for my boys, but my little girl. Now, again, my boys are like, hey, Dad, can I have this? Yeah. Hey, Dad, can I do this? Maybe. My daughter, we were in D.C. over the week, and we came out of one of the museums, and my car, I had to move the car because the time was up, you know? So I had to move it, like, to another section of D.C. so I wouldn't get a ticket. So she went with me because she was hungry. We had snacks in the van. And she was tired, you know, like that whole, like, oh, Dad, I can't go any further. And I was like, yes, you can. And so I looked at her, and I just knew. I was like, she's exhausted. And I don't have the back anymore to carry her. Plus, she's a little larger now, so I'm like, not doing that. We're a few blocks away. But I saw a Lime scooter. And I was like, oh, yeah. We're only like, literally, I could see the car from outside the museum, right? But I was like, she's gonna love this. So I'm going to go above and beyond, right? So I scanned that Lime. And I was like, hop on, girl. And we stopped. It was $2 to ride a block and a half. It was a lot of money. That's insane, by the way. But why did I do it? Because that's my daughter. Like, I'll do anything. I'll skip with her as I'm going down through D.C. I'll look like a fool. I don't care. We're skipping. We're holding hands. She's got her arm in my arm. We're dancing. We're laughing. We're singing. You name it. We're doing it. I'm an okay dad. Literally, there's way better dads. Steven's like by far the best dad. If you've ever seen Steven, our worship pastor, he is by far the best dad. I would never take my children to the pool alone, and he does that. I don't even want to take my grown teenage kids to the pool right now alone, right? And he does it with infants. But if I am a good dad, could you imagine how much better our Heavenly Father is? Like, so much better. So he clothes you. He takes care of you. He has thought about you. He knows every hair on your head. And he wants to bring you in. He has brought you in to say, hey, you are now my son and my daughter. I have brought you back to where you belong. I took you from the depths of hell, right, where you belong. And I said, no. I'm going to redeem that. I'm going to come in. I'm going to clothe you in righteousness. I'm going to clothe you in undeserving grace and mercy. And he says, you're mine. Now take this ring. And this ring is authority as a son and as a daughter of the Lord Most High. I believe that one of the most subtle dangers in the church today is that we live on the Father's land, enjoying unearned forgiveness, yet never open the closet to put on his power. We accept grace, but we neglect authority. And that's when Jesus is saying, oh, I'm going to read it again. It's found in John chapter 14, verse 12. I tell you the truth. Anyone who believes in me will do the same works I have done and even greater works because I'm going to be with the Father. You can ask for anything in my name and I will do it so that the Son can bring glory to the Father. Because Jesus wants to say, hey, I did it. I talked to them, I told them, I showed them, I did everything that you told me to do. Jesus is saying, I was the example. I gave them the understanding of authority. I showed them how to operate. I showed them the need for faith. I gave them everything that they would need to be successful. And Jesus is saying, now, you've been given this authority. So why? Because it brings glory. Why? Because you did what he told us to do. And now Jesus is going, I did it. I showed them exactly what they needed to do. You're bringing honor. Do you guys get that? Like that's powerful. That's powerful to recognize that we're not just these beautiful, empty, forgiven vessels, but now they're filled with power and authority to go do what God has called us to do. We're bringing glory to Jesus when we do what he's called us to do. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, for your instruction, your encouragement. God, I'm so thankful, Lord, that you prune us. God, I'm so thankful, Lord, that you encourage us. But Lord, I am more than thankful, overflowing in joy and gratitude for the authority that you've given us, authority to lay hands on the sick, Lord, authority to speak your name, the name above all names, Lord, to have faith, even in the moments that it is bleak, Lord, that we don't live by sight, Lord, I live by faith. And Lord, that faith is built up in me because of the Holy Spirit. So Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord. God, I'm so thankful for our most holy faith. Lord, I'm so thankful. Lord, every one of us in this room right now, just begin to, if you've been talking valley talk, like change it right now to victory talk. Begin to know that power and that authority right now, right where you are, come on. Just begin to worship him right where you sit, thanking him for the victory that you're about to encounter. I know some things look tough, but that's not your story. I would encourage you, if you're an empty vessel and you haven't asked the Holy Spirit to come live and dwell inside of you, make that happen right now. Ask the Holy Spirit to fill you up, bringing that authority. Oh, man. Holy Spirit, I thank you for that authority, that power, that instruction. Holy Spirit, I thank you that you bring us to an awareness of the things that God is doing, and you invite us in to be a part of those things. I pray that we never neglect it, or that we never miss an opportunity, or that we're in disobedience. Holy Spirit, fill this place. Any empty vessel that's in this room right now, Holy Spirit, I pray that you fill them with fire. Combustion in the name of Jesus. Combustion with authority, with power. To speak to those situations and to invite you into the room. Holy Spirit, I thank you for what you're doing. You know, we have so many distractions today in the world we live in. It's not that that God isn't talking. It's not that, it's just that we haven't turned off what the world's doing. We're consumed with those things that are happening around us. And we're missing out on what God is saying. It's a matter of just turning it off, man. Like turning those things off and to sit in His presence. And just to relax in that presence where it's like, God can do it. God is doing it. God will do it. Like begin that walk in faith. That yes, it may seem bleak, but it's so important that we encourage ourselves in the Lord. It's so important that God's going to do something. God is doing something. He's about to do it. He's already done it. He's doing it. So it's the relax of, hey, you know what? I'm not worried. I'm not anxious. I'm going to sit in His presence and I'm going to wait upon the Lord. I'm going to wait for that instruction. And I'm going to be a doer of His word. I'm going to step out in faith and I'm going to do what God's called me to do. So my encouragement for all of you in this room this week, like, if you're feeling empty, you feel that sense of like, oh gosh, I would say these words right here. Simple can be, God, fill me with Your Spirit so that I can walk in boldness. Same thing happened in Acts. A group of believers came together, they began to pray, and what happened? They walked out in boldness. Begin to walk out in boldness through the power of the Holy Spirit. Stop treating the Holy Spirit with contempt, some type of a familiarity that it's not true, but begin to walk in faith, knowing that the Holy Spirit brings that boldness in your situation that you need, gives you the tools and the gifts that you need. Stop neglecting what Jesus came to do. He came so that we would be washed white as snow, a vessel prepared for the power of the Holy Spirit, so that we can operate in authority.